As I was getting hooked up back there, I put this thing on, and as Jason was walking away, he didn't hear me. I said, "Now, do I have to do anything to it?" My old buddy Mike says, "Talk." I thought, "All right, yeah, there you go. What advice?" He's talking about being nervous. And this morning, for some reason, as I was going over the sermon notes here, Lord just wanted me to look up 2 Corinthians 12:10, and it says, "When I am weak, he is strong." And that goes right along with the lesson Wednesday night. Tremendous lesson. If you wasn't here Wednesday night, you missed a tremendous Bible study. He was on the verge of preaching. He was giddy as what they call giddy as a schoolboy or whatever. But he was full of spirit, and we had such a tremendous lesson. And it was encouraging. For lack of anything else, it was encouraging. And that's what we're here this morning for, is to encourage one another. The Lord give us a message here this morning. So I pray that I can get my nervousness out of the way and the Lord can take over. Because when I am weak, He is strong. And we can all take that to heart. That's for each and every one of us. I'm going to be in John chapter 3. And as we're turning there, I'm going to have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we're gathered here this morning on this beautiful mid-October day, Lord, this beautiful fall day that You have created. You alone have created. And we thank You, Lord, that You give us the desire in our heart to be here this morning, Lord. We cry out to You now, Lord, just asking You that You move upon us with Your Holy Spirit, that we can learn and that we can receive and that we can grow from Your Word here this morning. I ask for You to be with those who can't be here for whatever reasons, Lord. You know the needs, You know the hearts, and we just ask for comfort and peace or a change of the desire. And again, I ask for You to be with our pastor this morning, Lord, him and his family, Lord. We appreciate him. And again, I ask for You to forgive me and get me out of the way. And these favors we ask in Christ's name. Amen. 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 John chapter 3, and you'll recognize some of this, and we'll see where the Lord takes us. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And that's the key verse right there, is, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." As reading on, "Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And just to verify a little bit right there, except a man be born of water, that means be born of the flesh. He's talking to fleshly people here. And as I was thinking about that, to enter into the kingdom of God, angels are already there. Those that have been cast out can't get there. So we have to be born, okay? We have to be human beings before we can be born again. And of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6 says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh." Dirt. That's what flesh is. "And that which is born of spirit is spirit." And if you've been born again, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not, you can't comprehend it till the Holy Spirit moves upon you. Amen. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." There again, that's one of those things that God says, "My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts." Some things we can't comprehend that are of God, correct? Everybody agree with that? A lot of things we can't comprehend. We can't comprehend grace, what it is. We just take it and receive it and thank God that He give it. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Okay, as we're going forward, we're going to focus on we must be born again. And to comprehend that, I looked up what born was in the old language, in the Greek language, and it means to bear, beget, bring forth. But the one that really jumped out, okay, we're talking about being born again. We've all been born once, right? Okay. We're talking about being born again. The one that jumped out for this text is to be delivered of. Okay. So that took me to delivered of what? Why must we be born again? Ask yourself, contemplate that for just a second. Why must we be born again? Now remember, Nicodemus was a leader. He had great knowledge. He was a teacher. He was respected. But one thing that a lot of the other Pharisees didn't is they didn't respect Jesus. Nicodemus respected Jesus. Because he came in the night to talk to Jesus. He did it in private. So that brings us back where Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he was old? He didn't comprehend the difference between a physical birth and a spiritual birth. So that's where I'm putting it to us. To those that have been saved, you've been born again. Amen. And those who, if you're here and you haven't been saved, you have not been born again. But we're going to learn what it means to be born again, why we need to be born again, and how we can be born again. In Genesis chapter 2, this is going to describe why we need born again. Why we need born again. Am I saying that right? Born again, is that right? Yeah, born again. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may eat freely of. Thou mayest eat freely. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now let's be very clear on that. He is talking of a spiritual death. Let's go on over to Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 5 through 7. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, this is Satan speaking, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Key part, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. We know we're naked, don't we? We know that's where sin came in. That's where the separation came. That's where when it became that we thought we were as gods, that we know good and evil. That's why we need to be born again. Because, got a few more scriptures. Let's turn to Romans 5:12. Okay, now remember what we just talked about in Genesis. We talked about what Adam and Eve did. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Now, what man is he talking about right there? He's talking about Adam. That's when sin started, when they realized they were naked, when they realized right and wrong. That's when sin started. And death by sin, Okay, he's telling us clearly right there, the results of sin is death. And there again, he's not talking about a physical death. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, how many is in all? Yeah, that's everybody, right? All includes everything. Okay. Okay, that's determined. We all have sinned. Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now that tells us it's not our actions that make us separated from God through our sin actions. It is the sin nature that we're born with. We have sinned from conception. We are sinners from conception. Okay? You got to agree with that. You got to know that. It's not our actions. Okay. That's why we need to be born again, because we live in a separated state from God. Next question is who? Let's go to Romans 3:10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. And you've heard Greg talk about this book of Romans, Rhodes. And we've been giving that out, you know, as we're kind of visiting around. And a lot of this right here is going to help describe the plan of salvation. But in there, it tells why you need saved, who needs to be saved, and how to be saved. And we're going to touch on that just for a few minutes here. Who needs saved? Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That includes me. It doesn't say there is none righteous out there but me. It says there is none righteous, no, not one. It includes me. We got to realize that. We got to take that serious, folks. It's not everybody else that's wrong. It's I'm wrong. Okay? Each and every one of us has got to accept that fact that we are sinners. We have no hope without Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That just puts an exclamation point on 3:10. That it's a definite fact. We're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. Okay. How do we become born again? How do we become born again? By coming to church on Sundays? No. By being Grandpa Charlie's grandson? No. In so many other ways, by just being a good old guy? No. How do we become born again? I think Greg referenced this the other night. Romans 10:9-13. Romans 10:9-13 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how to be saved, is confess Jesus Christ. And it just says, confess with your mouth Jesus Christ and believe in your heart. What are you believing in your heart? You're believing that He is the true virgin birth Son of God. Amen. You believe that He died on the cross. You believe that He lived a perfect life and was condemned and died on the cross and shed His blood for you and you only. And get that. Remember when I say you and you only? That's each and every one of us. The closer I get to the Lord, the more I realize He gave to me the best, the most, all he had. And he done the same for you. He is able to give you the best and the most. I can't give you all the best and the most of me, because I want to give it to more, maybe more of the folks I know, my brothers, my mom, whatever, the people I know and care about. But God alone can give the very best that he has to you. He has enough to do that. Do you realize that this morning, that he can do that for you? For you, it's a personal thing. For you. You. Not y'all, but you. Sometimes we forget that. I think we do. Sometimes we forget that. That is a one-on-one thing. It is. Okay. We know why. We know who needs saved. We know why we need reborn. We know who needs reborn. We know how to be reborn. Let's talk about some of the results of being reborn. Okay? Now, I'm going to be reading several different scriptures all over the place, so just try to stay with me. This is under the heading of regeneration. And what is regeneration? It's a renewal. It's a restart. It's a do-over. It's starting again. Birth of a new spirit. It's found in Ezekiel 36:26. And it says, "A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Now I think about that. If you've been born again, you know it. Amen. I know God done something inside of here that I tried to do for years with a lot of different things. But until I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, he done something in there. He gave me a new heart. He gave me new desires. And toward the end of that verse, I got caught up on it. "I will give you a heart of flesh." And all I was thinking about was the pumper in there. But once I looked it up back in the old book, it means to change our desires. He'll give me a heart that loves you. He'll give me a heart that seeks God. He'll give me a heart to be a servant. He'll give us a heart to share with one another obediently, lovingly, caringly. Next is, it comes from a divine origin. John chapter 1 verse 13 says, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Saying it's something you can't do on your own. You can be happy, 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 and if you're not saved, it's fake. It's temporary. I used to go race motorcycles. Temporary peace. On the way home, back to misery. Go fishing, temporary peace. Go back home, real life. God can take care of that. God makes that permanent peace in there. And you know, and it says it comes from a divine origin. It comes from God. It doesn't come from man. Washington can't make us feel that way. As much as they think they might, but they can't. Essential to spiritual vision. In John chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's amplified. If you're not born again, you won't see the kingdom of God. The Bible's clear. A new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." That's exciting. That should excite us. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That should be exciting. That should, when we, I started, when I was sitting back here, I wanted to say when I got up here, are you happy you came this morning? That's it. Yeah, there's a big yawn right there. I'm just like, last night, the folks were singing a song up at, and it was like all that we could be excited about, everything, the hope that we have, knowing that we're going to have spend eternity in heaven. And it was about this quiet, the audience was. I thought, man, we're a sorry lot for a bunch of happy Christians, ain't we? And that's one of the lessons he talked about on Wednesday. We are new creatures, folks. We're not knots on a log, knots on a pew, or whatever you want to call it. We have everything in this world, in this creation that God has created. We have everything right now within our hearts. If you're born again here this morning, you have everything in your heart to rejoice about, to be happy about, to give a praise to the Lord once in a while about. He is worthy of our praise. We have no breath without Him. He is worthy of our praise. Okay, back to necessary to salvation. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's not by anything we can do. We can buy all the new trucks, cars, houses, all the temporary happiness, temporary whatever, temporary satisfaction. It will not do what God can do in your heart.
Amen.
When you're born again. He'll change your desires by the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, not flesh, but of incorruptible, by the perfect Holy Spirit, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Do you trust the Word of God this morning? Do you believe it is true from front to back, top to bottom? Every word. 1 John 5:1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that He is begotten of Him. It's through Jesus Christ we have the opportunity to be born again.
Amen.
I'm so thankful I can say I've been born again. Okay, now here, just a little bit longer. Results of not being born again. Here are some of the results of not being born again. Hebrews 9:27-28. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Okay. That's the first death. And we're going to talk about the second death. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15 says, and I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from those whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. Okay, right there, that describes their works. You're standing there based on your works. You're going to be judged on your works. So that tells me that whoever's standing there was never born again, because when you're born again, you're standing in front of God under the works of Jesus, under the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you're standing there covered in His blood. He will see His blood. He will see His righteousness. But right here, He's looking directly at you. If you're unsaved, He's looking directly at you. He's looking at your righteousness. And the sea gave up, verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is a direct quote from the scriptures, the results of not being born again. That's clear. That's not Jamie. That's not Dave. That's not anybody else. That's the Word of God. As we was teaching the youngins in class this morning, Julie said, listen to the sermon and then go home and look it in the Word. Get confirmation that it is the Word of God. It is not of the Word of Jamie. It is not of the Word of Julie. It is the Word of God. Okay? Turn over to chapter 21, going to be reading verses 6 through 8. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Born again right there.
Amen.
But the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And the reason I picked that out, the reason I think the Lord gave me that, was some folks say, I never murdered nobody. I ain't no witchcrafter. I ain't this. I ain't that. We've all been liars. And if you're not born again, first part of verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving. Unbelieving is enough to send you to hell. Unbelieving. That's a sin in itself. Unbelieving. Well, I hope this message spoke to your heart this morning. If they got a song ready, if you have something on your heart, I pray that you know you've been born again, because you can know. And if you haven't, I invite you. We can show you in the scriptures how, why you need to be saved. And the where is always available. Because you can be saved right here, you can be saved out there, you can be saved anywhere that the Lord is dealing with your heart.